Theocatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Theocatra AI. Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Today, we're really getting into something profound, maybe even a bit unsettling. We're looking at Ernest Becker's huge work, the Pulitzer Prize winner, The Denial of Death.
Yeah, this one. It's big. Our mission today really is to unpack what Becker saw as the absolute core driver behind, well, pretty much everything humans do.
Not just history or politics, but deeper.
Much deeper. He's talking about the hidden engine, this constant, terrifying awareness that, you know, we're mortal, yeah, that we won't be here forever.
Okay, so you're saying civilization itself, our ambitions, our relationships,
yeah,
they're all connected to this fear.
That's exactly Becker's argument. He posits that culture, achievement, even personality itself are these really elaborate, often unconscious ways we defend ourselves. Shared strategies, you could say,
yeah,
to deny the fact that death is final, to try and achieve some kind of symbolic immortality.
Wow. Okay, that's a massive idea. So who's the person who put all this together? Let's talk about Ernest Becker himself.
Sure. Ernest Becker lived from 1924 to 1974, an American cultural anthropologist. But he really resisted being boxed into one field.
Right. He pulled from everywhere, didn't he? Psychology, philosophy.
Exactly. Sociology, theology.
Mm.
He was genuinely trying to build a unified science of man, as he put it, trying to see the whole picture.
And there's something about the timing of this book, The Denial of Death, that's incredibly important, isn't there? It gives it this raw edge.
Oh, absolutely crucial. He wasn't just theorizing about death from an armchair. Becker wrote this book while he was terminally ill with colon cancer.
So he was literally facing his own mortality as he was writing about, well, facing mortality.
Yes. You can feel that urgency, that authenticity, reading it. He was living the very thing he was analyzing. It wasn't abstract from that point.
That's intense. And it clearly resonated.
It did. Published in 1973, just before he died, and then it won the Pulitzer for general nonfiction in 74, posthumously. It really cemented its place. That personal pressure, maybe, was what allowed him to synthesize such a huge, challenging idea.
Okay, let's dive into that core idea then, the central premise. Becker starts with this fundamental conflict, this paradox of being human.
Right, the duality. On one hand, we have this amazing symbolic self, our consciousness, our mind. We can think abstractly, imagine infinity, recognize our own uniqueness.
We feel potentially limitless in our minds.
But that amazing mind is stuck inside a physical body. A body that needs food, gets sick, decays, and ultimately dies.
Becker had that unforgettable phrase for it.
A god with an anus.
Yeah, that says it all, doesn't it? This kind of divine spark trapped in, well, biology.
Exactly. And this clash, this knowledge that our incredible awareness is housed in a temporary decaying vessel that creates this deep, underlying, often unconscious terror.
The terror of knowing it ends, and maybe that it doesn't mean anything.
Precisely. The terror of annihilation, of cosmic insignificance. It's apparently so overwhelming that we just couldn't function if we faced it head on all the time. We have to push it down, repress it.
So what do we do with that repressed terror?
We channel it. We pour that anxiety into what Becker calls immortality projects, or sometimes hero systems.
Okay, explain those. What are immortality projects?
They're basically culturally approved ways to feel like you matter, like you'll last beyond your physical death. Think about building wealth, achieving fame, creating lasting art, dedicating yourself to a religion or a nation.
So anything where you feel like you're part of something bigger, something enduring.
Exactly. You succeed within that cultural game, and you gain a sense of symbolic permanence. You feel heroic, significant.
Which leads to another key Becker concept, the vital lie.
Right. Our personality, our character, what we think of as us. Becker argues it's essentially a necessary fiction, a constructed defense, like armor.
Armor against what? The chaos.
Against the terror of death and meaninglessness. It lets us focus on playing the cultural hero game and ignore the abyss. You know, it allows us to function.
Okay, so that's the overview. Now let's get into the mechanics. How does this denial actually work? Becker really took issue with some existing psychological ideas, particularly Freud's.
He did. He gave Freud enormous credit for identifying repression as a key mechanism. But he fundamentally disagreed on what was being repressed.
Freud focused on sexual trauma, right? The Oedipus complex and all that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The dominant view was that early childhood experiences, often sexual, were the core repressed material.
Yeah.
Becker said, no, that's not the deepest fear.
What is then?
Annihilation.
Yeah.
Simple, terrifying non-existence.
Uh-huh.
The raw fear of ceasing to be. That's the fundamental thing we push away.
So Freud saw the mechanism, repression, but maybe pointed it at the wrong source.
That's Becker's take. And he really highlights another figure here, Otto Rank, a student of Freud's who kind of broke away.
Rank. Okay,
yeah.
What was his key insight that Becker valued so much?
Rank, according to Becker, got closer to the existential core. Rank identified this central human conflict, not just about sex or parents, but between two fundamental fears, life fear and death fear.
Life fear and death fear. What's the difference? Death fear seems obvious.
Right. Death fear is the fear of dissolution, of losing yourself, merging back into nothingness. But life fear, that's the fear of standing out.
Standing out? How is that scary?
It's the terror of individuation, of separating from the herd, taking full responsibility for your unique existence and its meaning. It's the burden of freedom, the fear of being alone and exposed if you truly become yourself.
So if I stick with a safe, maybe boring path instead of chasing a dream, I might be driven by life fear, fear of being too different, too alone.
That's a great example. You're afraid of the isolation and the responsibility that comes with forging your own path, stepping outside the approved cultural hero system.
And Rank saw a way through this conflict.
Yes, creativity. For Rank, and Becker echoes this, creativity is the healthiest way to navigate this. You express your unique self, overcoming life fear, but you create something that aims to last, symbolically overcoming death fear.
Okay, this is making sense. Now, Becker then applies this lens to modern society, and
yeah.
he's pretty critical, isn't he?
Very. He argues that the traditional hero systems, things like strong religious frameworks that offered robust paths to symbolic immortality, have weakened or collapsed in the modern West.
And we're left with
flimsier substitutes, as he saw it. Things like consumerism, defining your worth by what you buy, which is always temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Or the therapeutic culture focused solely on individual happiness or adjustment.
What's wrong with focusing on happiness?
For Becker, the problem is that it often lacks a sense of transcendent meaning. It doesn't connect you to something larger and more permanent than your own feelings. It doesn't provide a sturdy enough immortality project against the existential dread.
And when these cultural systems feel weak, we look elsewhere.
Exactly. That leads to what he calls transference, but in a broader sense than just therapy. We transfer our desperate need for meaning, for validation, for salvation from death fear onto other people.
Like romantic partners or leaders.
Yes. Partners, charismatic leaders, gurus, celebrities. We project onto them this ultimate power to save us, to make our lives meaningful. We essentially ask them to carry the weight of our existential anxiety.
Which Becker saw as a kind of self-imposed trap.
A flight from our own freedom, he called it. We're basically handing over our power, our responsibility for creating meaning, to someone else because the burden feels too heavy.
So that intense romantic idea of you complete me, Becker might see that as potentially unhealthy transference.
Potentially, yes. If it's about two people using each other primarily as buffers against their own existential terror, rather than two whole individuals choosing to share their lives, it's likely built on shaky ground.
Wow. Okay, this framework also completely reframes mental illness, doesn't it? It's not just brain chemistry, it's existential struggle.
Absolutely. He saw neurosis, for instance, not just as symptoms, but as a failed or maybe a constricted hero project.
Meaning?
The neurotic person is too afraid, too guilty, maybe too aware of the lie aspect of the cultural game to fully commit. So they shrink their world. They try to find heroism in controlling a tiny, manageable corner.
Like extreme tidiness or rigid routines.
Exactly. That kind of obsessive behavior. It's an attempt to create a small zone of control and predictability, a very limited stage for their heroism because the larger world feels too overwhelming, too chaotic. Their vital lie isn't robust enough.
And then the flip side, psychosis, like schizophrenia.
For Becker, that's when the defenses, the vital lie, the character armor, it completely shatters.
Yeah.
The person is left utterly exposed to the raw terror of existence, the chaos of reality, without the normal cultural illusions.
He described it as someone who cannot lie to themselves anymore.
Yes. Which sounds maybe noble, but the experience is crushing. Reality without the buffer is just too much. It shifts the perspective from purely medical to deeply existential.
Okay, this is incredibly rich. Let's try to distill some core themes, maybe three key takeaways people can really hold on to. First, this idea about the dark side of heroism.
Yes, this is so relevant. Becker argues that so much human conflict, war, prejudice, genocide, stems from competing immortality projects.
How so?
To feel secure in my chosen source of meaning, my hero system, my nation, my religion, my ideology, I often feel the need to diminish or invalidate your source of meaning. If your truth is valid, it might threaten the foundation of my vital lie.
So political polarization or tribalism isn't just policy disagreements. It's often a fight over whose reality, whose path to significance is legitimate.
That's the implication.
Yeah.
We demonize the other because their way of being heroic implicitly challenges ours. Mm. It's deeply rooted in that existential insecurity.
Okay, second big theme, the vital lie of our own character.
Right. We need to kind of accept that our personality, the way we act, the opinions we hold, our habits, it's largely a construction. A necessary one, maybe, but still a fiction. It's character armor.
That really makes you think, doesn't it? Looking at your daily habits, asking, yeah. Is this just function or is this part of the armor I built to feel safe and okay in the world?
It prompts some serious self-reflection. And the third theme ties it all together, the uniqueness of death awareness itself.
That this awareness is what drives, well, everything cultural.
Becker insists on it. If we didn't know we were going to die, he argues, civilization as we know it wouldn't exist. Our art, our monuments, our laws, our religions, they're all fundamentally shaped by this deep-seated desire to transcend our physical limits, to achieve permanence.
It's almost paradoxical. The fear of death fuels our greatest creation.
Exactly. Now, the book itself is just packed with quotable lines that really hammer these points home.
Let's share a few. This one just captures that core human dilemma perfectly.
Hmm?
Man is literally split in two. He has an awareness of his own splendid uniqueness. And yet he goes back into the ground a few feet in order blindly and dumbly to rot and disappear forever.
Oof. Yeah. That blindly and dumbly to rot part. It's brutal. It highlights the sheer, you know, biological indifference to our sense of specialness. That's the insult our ego fights against.
And this one challenges our whole idea of being well-adjusted. What we call normal is a shared lie and a shared repression.
Hmm. It suggests that normality is essentially agreeing to play the cultural game and not look too closely at the existential terror underneath. Maybe real health requires a level of honesty that's frankly terrifying.
And one more, very relevant today. Modern man is drinking and drugging himself out of awareness, or he spends his time shopping, which is the same thing.
Yeah, that directly links our modern escapes addiction, consumerism, to this fundamental denial of death. It's just less effective, maybe less meaningful, ways of trying to achieve that heroic feeling or simply numb the anxiety, flimsy heroics.
So given all this heavy stuff, how can we actually use these ideas? What are the real life applications?
Well, understanding transference in relationships is huge. Asking yourself, am I unfairly burdening my partner with my need to feel cosmically significant or safe from existential dread?
Recognizing that pattern could lead to much healthier dynamics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It shifts the focus to mutual support between two whole people, not two people trying to complete or save each other from the void.
What about broader society?
It fosters a different kind of tolerance, I think. When you see destructive behaviors, say, extreme nationalism or ideological rigidity understanding, it might stem from deep existential terror, that desperate need for certainty rather than just pure evil.
Hmm.
Well, it doesn't excuse it, but it changes how you might approach it. You see the underlying fear.
Addressing the root cause, not just the symptom.
Exactly. And maybe most importantly, it's a call to conscious living. To really examine your own drives. What's fueling your ambition? Is your immortality project something creative, generative, contributing something real? Or is it just about fitting in, consuming, or competing?
It pushes you to choose a more authentic path, maybe.
That's the hope. To choose a heroism that's actually meaningful to you and potentially beneficial to others, rather than just blindly following the cultural script.
For me, the thing that really stuck was that central dilemma. We're caught between fearing a meaningless life and fearing inevitable death. And often, to avoid the fear of death, we actually shrink from life, from its full potential, its risks, its openness. We choose the vital lie over authentic living.
That's a powerful takeaway.
Yeah.
And Becker doesn't just leave us there in the despair. His ultimate aim is to expose this hidden engine so we can actually gain some control, some agency. By facing the truth, yes, we rely on illusions. Yes, we're mortal. We can gain clarity.
And he does point towards a path forward, doesn't he?
He does. It involves courage facing our creatureliness, our biological limits without flinching, and then committing consciously to a form of heroism, a purpose that goes beyond just propping up our own ego. Something bigger than ourselves.
He called it the Causa Sui Project, right?
Yes, Causa Sui literally meaning its own cause. It's about consciously choosing and creating your own meaning, your own sacred project that aims for something lasting, something transcendent, whether that's through art, service, knowledge, spiritual exploration.
Taking responsibility for creating that meaning rather than just inheriting it or projecting it onto others.
Exactly. Which brings us to the final thought, really a question for you listening. Knowing about this deep engine of denial, this drive for immortality, what purpose, what Kazusui project will you consciously choose to commit to?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.